Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hold on, guys. Okay, is it clear?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to Block Talk Radio. My name is Lawrence Strink, a.k.a. Sparky Lee. As everybody knows, I am the CEO and founder of Legacy Programs. So we, hold on, I'm trying to get this right now. So... I mean, you know, I have such issues with technology. It's ridiculous. But, you know, one of the biggest things that we've been talking about is reentry. And it's rough. It is absolutely rough. I keep telling people this all the time that, you know, it's not the easiest thing to do. Okay, hopefully everybody can hear me. So, but the thing is, you know, I suffer from a lot of stuff with reentry. It's just how I cope with it. A lot of stuff that I do is Amazon. Everyone's familiar with Amazon. It's nationwide. It's amazing. And very convenient. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine today, and he's like, I really don't want to mess with Amazon because I'm afraid, you know, I'm going to go in debt or something like that, which is absolutely true. You know, we have to be mindful. I just went shopping for a bunch of stuff. I still get lost in the stores. I like squirrel, something shiny, and I'm gone. So it's you know, there's a lot of stuff with reentry, and as everyone knows, I do run legacy programs as best as I can. It's a realistic reentry style. It focuses a lot on PICS, which is post-incarceration stress syndrome. Very familiar with veterans, what they go through when they come home. The things that the prison sets you up for, like you need to go get a job, you need to go, you know, get your license, your ID. Those are very simple things, but with reentry, it's a lot more to it. You know, the emotional stress, the coping strategies that we use when we get out. We have to be very mindful of our beliefs, manners, and habits because those, demonstrate certain behaviors. That when we're going through life out here, that is, you know, with a lot of people, it's normal. With a lot of people, what I struggle with is it's like second nature, you know, where they just wake up, they go do it. For me, I have to actually process this stuff. So it takes a little bit more time. But it's, you know, what I've been able to do in one year, I have been more successful than a lot of people in my family. A lot of my friends, a lot of people out here, because there's a certain drive that we have from within prison. And much of that is, you know, we have something to prove, not just to ourselves, most importantly to ourselves, but also to society, say, hey, I am worthy. I studied the book of 48 Laws of Power, and one of the things is that it talks about when one of the laws of, you know, an enemy is usually the most – is the best friend you're going to have and the most trusting because there's something to prove. They have to prove that loyalty that they did not have originally. And it's kind of like that with us when we come home. We have to sit there and prove to everybody. So we're overcompensating with, you know, for instance, I work the most hours at the sawmill. The most hours. I work the hardest job. And I'm capable of doing that. Because I have this drive about myself that I really want to make a difference. I really want to do something with my life. I have something to prove, believe it or not, not just to myself, but to my family, to society. Because society puts me in a box. They say that I'm going back to prison. They say that I am not like them. I am second-class citizen. So I overcompensate and I do more. And I'm okay with that. It's really not an issue. But I do want to sit there and say that, you know, for the family members suffer the most. And this is just an insight to, when you look at somebody coming home, man or woman, don't look at them as an ex-con. Don't box them in, please. Invite them. Give them that opportunity to, you know, influence them that society isn't necessarily right with the labels and the boxing and stuff like that. You know, you want to invite them and show them, you know, because we have expectations when we come out. We have these, we have this stuff going on that, you know, we're already, you know, odds are against us. And so when you invite somebody in to show them a better way, you're giving them hope and encouragement to continue to go forward like that. And so that I just really wanted to say that. So the new projects for legacy programs, I'm working 12 hours a day, sometimes 13, and I usually work about 6 days a week. Fortunately, this weekend I had 2 days to rest. But we will be having our curriculum that's going to be – we are nationwide, by the way, Legacy Programs Education Reentry. We are in the UK. We are in Ohio, Florida, California. We are anywhere where we are needed. And so if anybody needs this program or would like to partner up and, you know, bring some of my strategies of reentry, and because our strategy is this, going in to get them out. That it has to be like that. Reentry doesn't start when they get out. Doesn't start when they parole with their $200 or whatever their gate money is, state, federal, whatever. It starts when they go in. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that our loved ones are prepared for what's to come out. And the curriculum that I've written, some of the curriculum that I have adopted, it teaches that emotional intelligence. It teaches that cognitive thinking, and challenges our old thinking habits. And so what I really want to do is encourage anybody that wants to bring a program to their loved ones. We have correspondence programs. We will send curriculum to your loved one. This is all free of charge. If you go on legacyprograms.net, legacyprograms.net, you will see that all our services that we provide are free of charge. Free of charge. And we range from youth diversion, gang awareness, drug and alcohol counseling, to even sex offenses. And I know that's a sore subject. I know nobody really wants to acknowledge that. It's kind of like the elephant in the room. But we offer these programs because the prison system doesn't address a lot of the stuff that we are doing right now. They like to overgeneralize. They like to kind of step around stuff. And it's not, you know, like there's therapy where it's helping, yeah, but you're not finding out your root cause. We want to know the root cause. And we adopted Marion Jacobs' philosophy. You know, we don't care what crime you committed. We care about why was a crime committed. We are in the business of fighting recidivism. We are in the business of finding out, you know, prevention rather like the Minority Report, right? Everyone's seen that movie with Tom Cruise. You know, we want to know if we can get to the root cause of why these crimes are committed due to environmental circumstances, product environment, childhood trauma. If we can figure this stuff out, we will have a game plan going forward. We will have a way to prevent a lot of these crimes. One less victim, one less crime. That's what we want to do. So Marion Jacobs is an amazing psychologist, and she's just stupid smart when it comes to this stuff, and she gets it. I've had in-depth conversations with her, and she blows my mind with just how she speaks. And it's like she's in the Netherlands, you know. She's not even in the United States, and this woman, she gets what California is going through. She gets what the United States, because mass incarceration is not a state or a country issue. It's a worldwide issue. It's just unfortunate that the United States has more inmates. They did a study on how, and I just want to put this in perspective for you. Think of New York City and L.A. That's just New York and L.A. That is our prison population in the United States. We have, do you know how many millions of people that are incarcerated and the chances that they have when they get out of, you know, what they have to overcome? And, you know, there's amazing groups. I encourage anybody and everybody to check out the GRIP program, G-R-I-P. It's Guiding Rage into Power. That is an amazing group. It's mind-blowing of what you learn about yourself. It is a group that I've been honored and privileged to partake in, be a participant, and also a mentor. So that teaches emotional intelligence. The craziest lesson that we ever did was the Q-tip, which is, you know, you carry around a Q-tip with you, and it's a reminder of quit taking it personal. You know, my business, your business, and God's business, and how to navigate your life into going, you know, how you're going about life, minding your own business, and just focusing on what you can't control, which is you. You know, it's solely your actions and stuff like that. So do check out legacyprograms.net, please. We do not charge anything. We're based off of donations only. If you want to sit there and pay it forward for another family member, that's cool. If not, then just, you know, if there's one thing that helps you, we also do marriage counseling. We do counseling, but we have to call, we call it mentorship. We have a great mentor program, and it's just people, you know. Therapy for me growing up in the system was sitting in a chair and someone going and writing stuff down in front of you, making you feel self-conscious. We do Zooms, we do one-on-ones, we do marriage counseling, couples, and all of those things, because we do it from a mentorship of, you know, people that have been in the situation and have overcome it, and what they're doing today with that information and those additional tools that they've learned. And I believe that the process of learning is a rough one for some of us, especially if you're male. Oh God, we're stupid. You know, I could build a fire like nobody's business, but to actually think something through, sometimes I'm just a moron. And that comes from, you know, being blonde and male. It's not a good combination, as there's a lot of women out there and the wives are going, my husband's just a moron. It happens. We are, and a lot of that comes from, you know, we are based off of, we're survivalists, we're conquerors. You know, all women are thinkers and the ones that think things through and process things differently and more efficient than we do. We run in the fires. You guys are sitting there going, well, I don't think it'd be a good idea. You got the back door that's blocked in. You got the front windows that are on fire. And you all think things a lot better than us men do. And that just comes from years of DNA and evolving, you know. It's one of those things. But we have three lifers that came home from doing over 20, almost 30 years And huge shout out to Tommy Rock. Tommy Rock is doing good. He just built his business this last year, and I've done time with him since we were younger, and he served, I think, almost 30 years as well, and now he's running his own business. He's doing an amazing job, so huge shout out to him. But we have three lifers that have come home and went to board and were approved for reentry. And so part of the legacy program is that we want to make sure that there are funds to help these people, you know, get their clothes, their hygiene, and stuff like that. So if anybody wants to donate, legacyprograms.net, hit that donation button, please. I spend a lot of my money on this stuff, which is great. It's actually one of the only reasons I went out and got a job. I was comfortable with, you know, staying home and working and stuff like that, but I couldn't do anything for anybody that was coming home. So, you know, like there's a guy that a good friend of mine is, I've known him as Woody for about 20 years when I first started my first year of incarceration. And I was able to send him a F My Life package because he went to board and got denied, and, you know, he was feeling bad. So, you know, one thing I used to do when I used to do my psych evals, and I would have to face this stuff. My wife would buy me a package full of Ding Dongs, Twinkies. We call them Zoom Zooms and Murmurs. And so it's one of those things where you just get to stuff your face, no consequences, no remorse. Just eat your heart out and get over it, and then get back up on your feet and let's try it again. And so I've been able to take my wife's philosophy for what she did for me and do for them. So that was cool, you know, and with this job, I'm able to do that. So, I mean, you know, life is good, though. And, you know, I always talk about reentry. It's my thing. It's something that I haven't overcome it. I really haven't. But I am overcoming it. I'm staying free. You know, it's almost like I'm a celebrity at the last prison I was at, the prison where I started facilitating and taking my education serious and helping others. I'll just give you a little background of my prison, my last 13 years in prison. I ran every group I ever been part of. I learned the curriculum. I learned the ways, and I conducted myself a certain way on the yard where I wasn't a POS, you know, where I was actually helping people get in groups. I was mentoring. I was a youth diversion counselor. I was doing all this stuff to help the community around me because there was a certain exercise that they asked. They said, what would your community say about you? It's called the tombstone exercise. And in this exercise, you know, what would your family and friends say about you? And then what would your community? Well, I remember my response. My response was, and you have to get up on a whiteboard in front of everybody. It's dead silent. It's super uncomfortable, but it's actually a meaningful exercise. So I encourage this with everybody. And they asked me what my community would say about me. And I said they would say I was a POS, you know, that I was no good, this and that. And so they turned it around. They asked the group, and they said, how do you feel about Breeze? You know, that was my nickname back then. And they said, how do you feel about him? What would you say if he wasn't here? And all these people start talking really highly of me, and I didn't get it right away. And then he says, and then the facilitator looks at me and goes, this is your community. You got your barber shop over here. You have your grocery store over here. You have your hospital over here. You have your housing area over here. And I never saw it like that. And one of the things that they talked about is the big picture, seeing yourself free. If you cannot see yourself free, you're not changing that thing. A lot of times, I remember when I first went to prison, I went to Youth Authority at 16, and I remember that sense of, like, not belonging anywhere. Like, this is going to be my life. I woke up every day, and there's actually if anybody wants to look it up on YouTube, it's a documentary on me, Prism of a Convict. And it's basically about my conviction, my reentry before, you know, when I started. And it was one of those things that I used to wake up every day, putting my stuff up on my bed in its boxes, making sure there was nothing in there that my family would be ashamed of me about. And because I never knew if I was going back to that bunk. Every day I expected to die in that place. And I never saw myself getting out. And that was what we talked about in the exercise, was the big picture. You have to see yourself out. What are you going to do when you're out? What are you going to be? And this is the thing about formerly incarcerated people, is that we are some of the strongest people. The family members are the strongest above. I mean, yeah, they didn't go through the prison system, but they went through the prison experience. Trust me. They went through the lack of contacts. They went through the fear of, is my loved one going to get in a riot and never coming home? There's more stress. I'm going to tell you right now, I was okay with being a convict. I was okay with doing my time. But what about my loved ones that were doing the time with me? You know, I didn't know what they were going through until I got out. And then I see what they go through. I have friends in there. I have mentors, guys that I mentor in there. And I see, I you know, I have a 24-year-old kid that's in prison that I mentored since he was, I think, like 20 or 19. And the other day he calls me and says, hey, I might not be able to call for a little while. There's been a riot. I got to experience that fear, that worry, that doubt. And I'm going to tell you right now, for the family members, what you guys go through out here, to be supportive and to – y'all are just amazingly strong. This ain't easy. And so I'm experiencing that now, and I see – the stress that I put on my wife when I used to say, well, can you go look this up? Can you send this package off, or can you do this? And I'm going to tell you, when you're working a full shift all week long, there you don't have time for this stuff. And when you come home, you got to take care of your family. There's a lot that goes with being supportive of a loved one or just even a friend. So, you know, it's one of those things that I'm learning. And it's a learning experience, people. It really is. It's something that, you know, that we have to figure this out some way or another. And I think that using the personal experiences is good because it's like a GPS system. You know, you're not getting some bullshit where it's like some guy's like, oh, well, this is what you need to do, and he doesn't understand what's going on, or her, you know, a lot of these therapists, it's BS. I'm just going to say it. It is what it is. A lot of the therapists are crap because they read a book, they read on human behavior. That's fine. I've done the reading on human behavior, but I've also lived it where I've had to study it. And, you know, a lot of you out there have been through the cycle of addiction, have been through the turmoils of trying to acclimate yourself and stuff like that. And you all are the best teachers. You don't need a degree to teach this stuff. You don't need a degree to, you know, be part of the conversation. So please, anybody that has a life experience, call in, you know, 657-383-1630. Call in. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know what your struggles are, you know, that we are the greatest teachers. They say a fool is one that learns from the mistakes of others, but a wise man is the one that learns from the mistakes of the fool. And so I'm okay with being that fool. I've been a fool all my life. At least now it's beneficial for other people, and I'm not just wasting fresh air, you know. It's one of those things. But we also talk about the three-tier philosophy. You know, the three-tier philosophy is yourself, your family, and your community. If you're no good to yourself, you're no good to your family. If you're no good to yourself or your family, what are you doing for the community? It has to be a proper balance. And that's something I'm learning. It's like, how do I can't be a good figure for the community if I'm not a good father or a good husband. And I can't be a good father or a good husband if I'm not a generally good person. Like, you know, those things about me that I'm happy to be in my home. I'm happy to be a hard worker. I'm happy with how my life is turning out. And, yeah, you know, I served 20 years for a crime I did not commit. Am I angry about that? No. I'm extremely grateful. And I want to sit there and tell everybody out there that, you know, I'm not going through anything or haven't gone through anything, and nobody else has experienced. I'm not that special. But you know what makes me special is how I'm utilizing that. How I'm taking that pain, that anger, that frustration, and turning it into a beautiful experience to help others. And that's just by speaking. So, you know, I just want everybody out there to know that, you know, you are loved, you are thought of, that are doing the time with your loved ones. Don't lose hope. It's progress rather than perfection. And the only way it's going to get better is if you go through it. If you think about the worst thing you've ever gone through and remember those emotions and that thinking process and going, oh, I'm never going to make it out of here. I'm never going to get over this. I can guarantee you it was over 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a year ago, 15 years ago. And look at you now. That did not break you. As a reverend, I have to sit there and throw that out there that, you know, when we seem most alone is usually when we're being carried, either by spirit, by God, however, whatever you want to call it. You are being carried, my friend. And if those things in life that couldn't break you to this point, you know, didn't break you, I mean, you're doing fine. But we have these expectations. I have these expectations that I'm supposed to, like, for instance, this job. I have a job that I expect myself to learn this stuff. And let's go with an hour. I get so frustrated with myself. You know, even today, I think the greatest thing to my success with a couple promotions and the experience I'm getting from this job is that I'm able to embrace the struggle. I'm able to enjoy, you know, not being perfect. You know, I mess up today. There are things at work that I mess up still, and I'm okay with it. I sit down and go, well, it's just part of the learning experience. I laugh about it now instead of getting frustrated because that frustration wasn't doing anything for me. It was only causing a downward spiral. Those expectations of myself was making me feel less than, was messing with my self-esteem, my accomplishments. I was ignoring my accomplishments. And so look at the struggle as a blessing. Look at the experiences as learning experiences and something that's making you a better person. And what are you going to do with that? Everybody knows the story about legacy programs, education reentry, and how I started that. I was angry. I was frustrated. I felt hopeless and helpless. I wanted to turn that pain into something beautiful, and that's why today we have a legacy program. That's why we have a reentry program. That's why we offer the counseling and stuff like that, because if it wasn't for that struggle, I wouldn't have what I have right now. Because of that anger, instead of being angry and being, you know, a victim, I became a victor. You know, I sat there and said, I'm gonna do something that they didn't do for somebody. I'm going to provide these services for somebody, and that's what we've been able to do. There's a lot of injustices going on in the world today, and they're being ignored. You know, the voices are being quieted. Let me tell you something, people. We are the people. Let's fight like it's 1776. Let's start, you know, and I don't mean to start a riot, but let's start a revolution with our voices. Let's sit there and be that person where it's like, this is wrong. But a lot of times there's a lot of shame, fear, and guilt that go on with that. Speak it. Speak your truth. Do not let yourself be silenced. Don't let society sit there and tell you you're wrong or you're overreacting. Overreact. Be angry. That's fine. But please be heard. Do not be silenced. These injustices that go on, they keep going and going until finally they can't be stopped. They can't be quieted anymore. And it's like a volcano explosion. It built up and built up. Look at the George Floyd situation. Nobody cared about police brutality or anything like that. It was all just like, oh, well, it happens. But it took one man to die for everyone to realize, like, oh, hey, maybe there's an issue here. And now we had a whole movement because of it. And that's what we have to focus on is, like, why does it have to get to that point? Why wasn't this brought up before? And it's because, what, we want to be quiet about our experiences? Let me tell you something. My reentry experiences is what keeps people out of prison. My reentry experiences, my prison experiences, keeps people free today. We have a 100% success rate. And that is because we're open, we're honest, and we're willing. We have to be able to tell a story, people. We have to be able to share. Because if we don't, it's being quieted. It's being silenced. And you are better than that. We are better than that. Our voices matter. Our experiences matter. Our pain matters. Our struggle is important to help other people. And so I know there's people probably sitting there going, oh, my God, I'm tired of hearing this dude's voice. He's annoying. And that's okay. Because my wife says the same thing. No, I'm just playing. But the thing is that, you know, I don't even want to hear my own voice. I don't even listen to this stuff anymore. Like, see how, what I said, I just talk and go on a rant and that's it. Because I'm trusting the process. I'm trusting that, you know, out of 10 people, hopefully one person hears this and they're like, you know, he's right. So I encourage you, if I was able to enlighten you, if I was able to, you know, you heard something today that kind of sparked something, call me. Let me know what's going on, people. Next week, we're here at 12:30 Pacific time. Call in. Let me know. If I piss you off, please tell me. Oh, please tell me. Let's have a conversation. I don't think so highly of myself that I can't have a debate, like, where people call me wrong. You call me wrong all you want. You know, I'm married. I know I'm wrong 9 out of 10 times. But I do want people to start talking. I do want people to start being heard. And the only way you're going to be heard is if you're courageous. If you sit there and put the fear, shame, and guilt aside, and you speak, I don't care if it's, you know, you're driving, anything. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what's good. Talk to me. I'll talk back. I don't mute anybody on this show. Everyone knows that. I've had people go on rants and raves. I've had people sit there and I've had some amazing conversations on this show. And and that's due to, you know, we can have a difference of opinion. That's fine. Let's talk about it. Let's enlighten somebody. Let's provoke some conversation. Really. So with that said, I do want to sit there and ask everybody, Blog Talk Radio Shedding Light is committed to bringing awareness. Therefore, contributions are welcome to ensure continuance. Cash App, $NZO, Shedding Light. Please, you know, show your support. We're hoping that we keep this going. We want to make sure that the awareness and the education is there so people can really know what's going on. If you listen to the media and the news and everything else, they tell you one story. If you listen to, you know, the person that's going through it, you're going to hear another story. And if you hear from another source, it's going to be completely different. There's always three sides to a story. So, you know, when we're going through this stuff and we're thinking about this, just remember that we have different sides of the story, and we want it all there. And without your guys' support, not just contributing to keeping it alive, but also your participation, your active listening. Thank you so much for the listeners out there. I know my voice is annoying. I don't like it myself, but I really do thank you guys for listening to this this radio show every single week. And even if you can't, you hear it on replay and you share it. Thank you so much. Without you guys, I'd probably be like, hey, you know, Lawrence, we're good, man. Go ahead and take Sunday off. So I hope everybody had a blessed and wonderful Easter. I went out and went to church, greeted everybody on the radio show, and went out and spent time with the wife and the family. And I had a real good day. It was we got massages, you know, me and the wife. So it's nothing like a, you know, sitting there on a Sunday afternoon with some guy rubbing your butt. He was actually pretty good. He had soft hands. So, I know. I'm ridiculous. But this guy, I always sit there and tell the guy that, you know, you have the hands of God. And every time as I'm getting this massage from the same guy, I always pray. And I say, God, heal my body. I work long hours. I walk 25 to 30 miles a day at work. That's a 12-hour shift. You know, I spend more time at work than I do at home sometimes. And so, you know, I'm very grateful for these opportunities. But, I just, you know, I can't encourage anybody enough to, you know, be heard. Don't be silenced, because I was silenced for 20 years as an inmate. You know, I was told that I wasn't going to amount to shit. I was told as a child I wasn't amount to anything, that my life was going to be in ruins, that I was going to end up in prison, that I was going to die in prison. Then when I actually made it there, I was like, wow, people must be right. And my self-esteem wasn't the best. It wasn't, sure, I combed my hair and I brushed my teeth, but, you know, as a man, I didn't think I'd be in the position that I am now. I really thought I was going to die in there. I welcomed it. I learned to accept it. And so I just want people to know that, you know, we have to start changing the dialogue here. We have to start turning this around to where, you know, we're all going through something. What I'm going through is not anything any different than what you're going through. I'm just handling it different ways. I have different coping strategies just as you do. And I'm not saying we have the answers. It's collaborative. We have to work together, because if we don't, you know, reentry, recovery is not a one size fits all. It is not. You could go and that's what's wrong with the therapy today and the recovery, is that they box everybody in. They say, well, since you're a gang member, we're going to do this for you, and this is how we're going to treat it. But that's not the case. Everybody's different. And I tell everybody this all the time. What works for you in my organization, my program, might not work for somebody else. You take what you want and you leave what you want. And you do with what you can. That's all there is to it. We will offer you the stars and the moons. If you just want the stars, take them. They're yours. And if we can't figure something out, this is what's beautiful about legacy programs, is that we work with other organizations. You know, we work, let me tell you something. They have this, it's called the Fresh Program with Anthony. And this man is, it's out of Maryland. Amazing program. You know, there's things that he does that I don't, and things that he can accomplish that I can't. And I give that man all the credit for that. And, you know, if I ever needed anything, that man is always there. And it's like, it goes back and forth. You know, anything that Anthony ever needed, I'm there for him. He knows that. We have the change starts with Ohio, you know, with the death penalties and stuff like that. It's, you know, they're doing things that we're not doing. You know, my job as a formerly incarcerated, as a CEO, as a founder of an organization, my job is to keep those bunks empty. If I could sit there and mess up that count time at night and keep one less person out of prison, that's my job is done. I may not be fighting laws and doing bills and stuff like that, but you know what? I'm keeping people out of prison. I'm keeping fathers fathers and husbands husbands and mothers mothers. That's all. Let's take away the CDC numbers. Let's take away the DOC numbers. Let's take away, you know, these boxes, these penal codes. We are not our crime. We are human beings. And until it's addressed like that, it's nothing's ever going to change. Yes, I am an ex-con, but I am not an ex-con. First and foremost, I am a man, I'm a human being, and I breathe and crap just like you, and you, me. So, you know, we have to embrace that. And for anybody that, the other things that we provide is that communication between the family members and the communities and society and just in general. If you have any questions about formerly incarcerated, what they're going through, give me an email. It's legacyprogramseducation@gmail.com. If you have a question about a loved one, you want to know, get some more insight, ask. That's what we do. We bridge the gap of communication. Because a lot of times the formerly incarcerated that come home, we're dealing with a lot of stuff that's going on that we're not telling you about. But that's what we do now, is that we explore that and we bring in the family members in on this to get insight them, to give them an idea. That way we have an idea how to go about it. Because if I don't communicate what I'm going through with my wife and my son, how do I expect results? I'm not. I'm just sitting there going through it. I have to explain, be able to speak about it. That way they you know, there's a way to fix it. But if they don't know what I'm going through, if I can't communicate it, how are they going to help? And so I just want to tell you guys I love you. God bless you. Stay safe. And please call in, man. I'm always open for suggestions and for, you know, let's talk. I love talking to people. I want to hear about your injustice. What are you going through? Even if you feel, well, it's not as bad as yours, let me tell you something. It may not be as bad as mine. You may not have lost 20 years of your life in prison, but you're going through an injustice, and you need that healing process. You need to be able to outlet it, to not let that stuff just settle and make you feel less about yourself. Sometimes speaking about it heals us. I remember when Leona first gave me an opportunity to share my story, it was a healing process. I used to cry after every show because I got to speak. My voice mattered. I was no longer ignored. I was no longer boxed in. I was no longer an inmate. I was a citizen. I was coming out and I was being heard. And it was an amazing feeling. So I really do want to offer that to everybody. I want everybody to understand that, you know, your voice matters. Don't let anybody silence that. And it may be annoying, like mine. It may be drawn out and they're like, oh my God, shut up. But somebody's going to need to hear it. And I just really hope and I pray that somebody today that is listening to this show is like, you know what? He's right. I hope I get to encourage and inspire at least one person today. And if I have, hit me up. Let me know how I've done it, what I could do better. If I could sit there and, you know, if you got a better idea of what to talk about, let's talk about it. All right? So y'all have a wonderful weekend, a wonderful Sunday or Monday, wherever you're at in the world. Love you. God bless you. And just remember, how it begins is never how it ends. Check us out on legacyprograms.net. And see what we can do to provide for your loved ones. If we can't, we'll find somebody that can. That's what we do. Because, and just so everyone gets an understanding, if we fight for one, we fight for all. That's all there is to it. We don't discriminate. So that's just how it has to be. If you're an active advocate, you fight for everyone. You fight for a cause. You don't get to pick and choose who you advocate for. Whether it's a person, race, crime, gender, it doesn't matter. So let's end this stigma and let's sit there and let's all come together. One voice, one room, one direction. Y'all stay peaceful, stay in God's love, and just keep doing what you're doing. All right. Bye, y'all.